Nếu như
globalization, to a large extent, is actually removing responsibility from people within their own locality to take care of themselves.
We know that people do not know who rules or why and how he rules. And yet they know that there is a power that certainly rules.
We travel 1,000 miles in an hour and a half. We have traveled through whole areas of existence which we have not necessarily gained. We will pop into a Hindu village, but we won't know a damn thing about that Hindu village.
If you push that all the way, you see what it means is that we will increasingly tend to inhabit all of these areas in depth simultaneously.
Južna hemisfera, poročamo o južni polovni.
Eros Sultanatos. Zvezi držav jugovzhodne Azije, geopolitični organizaciji, bolj znani pod angleško kratico ASEAN, letos predseduje njena najmanjša država članica – Brunej. Edina absolutna monarhija in edini ustavni sultanat v tem delu sveta s polnim imenom Negara Brunej Darussalam se nahaja na otoku Borneo, poleg Cipra edinem otoku, katerega ozemlje je razdeljeno med tri državne tvorbe – Brunej, Malezijo in Indonezijo. Polmilijonska država je v celoti omejena z ozemljem Malezije, ki monarhijo tudi ločuje na dve enklavi. Dobrih 10 kilometrov dolg malezijski pas ob Brunejskem zalivu je ločnica med manjšo enklavo Temburong in tremi upravnimi okrožji večje zahodne enklave. Prestolnica Bandar Seri Begavan se tako kot večina industrije in gospodarskih obratov nahaja v večji enklavi, medtem ko je Temburong večinsko gozdnat. Začetki sultanata Brunej segajo v 14. stoletje, v čas muslimanskih trgovcev. Ti so ozemlje Borneja islamizirali in ustanovili sultanat, ki je v svoji zlati dobi obsegal celoten otok. Po prihodu evropskih kolonialistov v 16. stoletju se je sultanat močno skrčil. Leta 1888 pa je takratni sultan podpisal dogovor o ustanovitvi protektorata pod okriljem Združenega kraljestva. V 20. letih prejšnjega stoletja so britanski upravljavci v Bruneju odkrili nahajališča nafte in zemeljskega plina, ki sta še danes temelja brunejskega gospodarstva. Po slabem stoletju britanske uprave in kratkem obdobju japonske okupacije v času druge svetovne vojne se je Brunej leta 1984 dokončno osamosvojil, a še zmeraj ostaja del britanskega Commonwealtha. Osamosvojitev je spodbudila ponovno vzpostavitev islamskega sultanata v sodobni obliki, ki ga trenutno vodi sultan Hasan al-Bolkija Muizadin Vadavla, ki svojo monarhično funkcijo združuje s funkcijami predsednika vlade, ministra za obrambo, ministra za zunanje zadeve in ministra za finance. Poleg naštetega upravlja tudi funkcije vrhovnega poveljnika brunejske vojske, admirala mornarice in nadzornika kraljeve policije. Sultan Bolkija je bil kronan po smrti svojega očeta pri dobrih 21 letih, mednarodno pa je znan po svojem razsipnem življenju. Njegovo premoženje je ocenjeno na slabih 25 milijard evrov, lasti si večino podjetij v državi, med drugim tudi brunejsko podružnico energetske multinacionalke Shell in islamsko banko Brunej Darussalam, preko katere ima v lasti tudi prestižne hotele v Evropi in Severni Ameriki. Moez Hayat, raziskovalec držav jugovzhodne Azije z Univerze Georgetown v Washingtonu, oriše vlogo sultana v Bruneju.
Well, Brunei is what it's called, a Malay Islamic monarchy. That is the official national creed. So in many ways, he is the institution of the sultan and the individual of the sultan is the fundamental institution of government. At the same time, the Sultan is viewed quite popularly, as you know, as far as I understand. He's been in power since 1967. Since that time, Brunei has had an unprecedented scale of economic development. It is today the second richest country by per capita GDP in Southeast Asia. And it actually was for a time the wealthiest country in Asia, period. So as a result, very popular. The Sultan is very involved in the affairs of government and very connected to the people. Regular visits to local mosques, meeting with local families. It's a very involved governing style, very personalistic governing style. And one very appropriate for the traditions of Brunei, which is, again, one that is based on the Malay culture and Islamic traditions of the country, as invested in the personal symbol of the individual monarch, who is Sultan Hassan Bolkiah.
Muslimanski veri pripada slabih 80% brunejskih državljanov, razmeroma veliki sta tudi budistična in krščanska verska skupnost. Čeprav je svoboda veroizpovedi ustavno zagotovljena, pa so verniki, ki ne pripadajo islamu, svoje verske obrede primorani opravljati zasebno. Sultan svojo oblast utemeljuje predvsem s pomočjo islama, uradne monarhične religije, ki je na Borneo priplula s trgovci z Bližnjega vzhoda. Leta 1959 je bil islam v prvo državno ustavo zapisan kot orodje v rokah sultana za vzdrževanje tradicionalnih vrednot in malajske kulture. Zaradi združljivosti svoje vladavine tudi z ulogo verskega voditelja je bil sultan Hassan al-Bolkiah v medijih večkrat oklican za varuha islamskih vrednot.
In many ways he is the protector of Islam in Brunei, again according to the National Creed of Malay Islamic Monarchy. The Sultan in many ways represents the fact that there's kind of a Malay Muslim sovereignty in the country. So as a result, you know, any policy, for example, like the recent Sharia bill has been enacted, is a means for the Sultan to show that, you know, he does represent the interests of Muslims or take it very seriously. Now, they have a Ministry of Religious Affairs, which operates underneath the monarchy or underneath the government. And the Sultan's very involved in the affairs of that ministry as well. So obviously they have, you know, state-appointed muftis, state-appointed religious officials, but the Sultan, you know, takes a direct role in its management as well. And
Prakticiranje islama v Bruneju je zaznamovano predvsem z vključevanjem šafijskega madhaba v vsakdanje življenje. Šafijski madhab je ena od štirih denominacij sunitske verske šole fikha, ki je tudi glavni vir pravnih aktov v monarhiji. Učenje po modelu šafijske šole pa je od začetka izobraževanja deležna tudi večina Brunejcev.
It's a conservative Muslim country, that's for sure. But from an institutional perspective, you know, there's an emphasis essentially on historic traditional Islamic teachings and traditional Islamic orthodox institutions as a means of representing the religion. So this is something common in Malaysia as well, that there's an emphasis on Muslim scholars who've been educated at the University of Al-Azhar in Egypt, which is considered kind of the premier Sunni Shafi Islamic school in the world. And in Brunei, certainly that connection is there as well. As far as I understand, most of the Islamic scholars are Azhari educated.
Zakonodajne oblasti v monarhiji ni, so pa vsaj na papirju prisotne politične stranke. Brunejci so vsej svoji zgodovini volili zgolj enkrat, leta 1962, a so bile volitve sočasno z razpustitvijo parlamenta kmalu zatem prepovedane. Parlament je bil razpuščen na podlagi izrednega stanja, saj naj bi levičarska brunejska ljudska stranka predstavljala grožnjo ustavni ureditvi. Danes imajo politične stranke zgolj vlogo podpornikov sultanove izvršne veje oblasti.
There's not too many political parties, but the ones that exist, they obviously support the National Creed of Malay Islamic Monarchy, and as a result, they operate under that framework. They're not particularly active In fact, the major parties today, I think, mainly work in support of that concept, of that national concept. And, you know, with development still, you know, strong, with the in recent years, the government has also kind of devolved some powers, and not devolved some powers, but they've become much more transparent with this reformation of the Legislative Council, specifically when it comes to things like budgetary negotiations and anti-corruption efforts. So as a result, there's not too much for political parties to do in a country like Brunei. But chiefly, they organize in a political means to in support of the current national ideology. And I believe most civil servants cannot be a member of the political party. So the government is as a result is very apolitical. So there's not too many members, you know, because most Bruneians themselves are civil servants.
Ob osamosvojitvi leta 1984 je sultan razglasil nacionalno filozofijo, imenovano Melayu Islam Beraya. Ta naj bi uradno povzemala brunejski način življenja. Nacionalna filozofija je skupek tradicionalnih vrednot malajske kulture in naukov islamskega prava. Implementacija filozofije na vsakdanje življenje pa naj bi pomagala ohraniti čistost islama in malajske kulture, poleg tega pa naj bi prispevala k zavarovanju absolutne monarhije, ki si ravno z nacionalno filozofijo utemeljuje obstoj, razloži Bill Hayton, sodelavec londonskega Chatham Housea oziroma Kraljevega inštituta za mednarodne odnose.
Well, I mean, the philosophy is basically a way that legitimizes the monarchy's right to rule and cements Islam as the state religion. So it sort of combines the idea of the monarchy having ancient roots, that it's a Muslim monarchy, and that it allows, for example, I mean, there are non-Muslim people able to sort of practice their religion in Brunei, but they must do so privately and you know, challenge the monarchy openly. So it's a sort of ideology, I suppose you might say, a set of political religious beliefs that underpin the monarchy and the political system. So it's not a particularly sophisticated ideology, you might say. I mean, the ideology really basically says the sultan is the ruler, and everybody kind of agrees with that. I think that's basically what the sort of belief system really is all about.
Naenkrat zaslišim nek prebijajoč zvok, ko je eksplozija. Vsi smo nehali govoriti, eni so odšli z dvorane, v kateri je bila zabava, in zašli v park, kjer so tiho čakali. Fuck. Dva artista z Montpellieja sta stala zraven mene, imela sta prižgane smartfone in sta jih držala v zrak, kot da bi bili zasloni čarovniške palčke. Ko nek pofuken Star Wars. Usedem se v avto, prižgem radio, ampak še vedno ni delal. Vse moje prenastavljene postaje, vse je bilo polno statike. Vozim, nikjer nikogar, pa še dve trupi na avtocesti. Pridem v mesto, s trgom na sredini,
На видес je vse popolnoma normalno. Vse je bilo, sem vrata pa okna so modra. Ko da bi bil še v šavnu, sem da mesto nima veze za rabijo. Ljudje normalno sedijo v kafiču, otroci se igrajo. Klošari so ravno kar prišli na svoj teren. Na drugi strani trga prepir med dvema najstnikoma. Najprej se cufata, porivata, stvar eskalira. Kurac od kurca, jebem ti mater, ubil te bom, ubil te bom. Ne morem nekrat gledat, nek psihopatski eros buhti iz njega. Neka resničnost, neka polna odločenost. Ubil ga bo.
Poslušate oddajo Južna hemisfera na valovih Radija Študent. V prvem delu oddaje smo se posvetili politični ureditvi in zgodovini Bruneja. Sedaj pa bomo osvetlili pravni sistem in meddržavne odnose Bruneja, ki kot član Združenja Commonwealth še vedno vzdržuje tesne odnose z nekdanjo upravno matico Veliko Britanijo.
There is a very close relationship between Brunei and the UK. It's not a formal constitutional relationship. I mean, Brunei is an independent country, and it chooses to be a member of the Commonwealth. I mean, it's a voluntary club, if you like, being a member of the Commonwealth. But that said, there is a defence treaty between the two countries, and the UK maintains a garrison of troops, mainly Gurkhas, in Brunei, and has a training facility for jungle warfare there. And there have been long connections also between British businesses. The oil industry is very strong there, although to some extent they've been weakening a bit. For example, British banks have pulled out of Brunei because I guess they just weren't making enough money, and China has Chinese banks have moved in.
Brunei tudi po osamosvojitvi ohranja britanski splošni pravni red, ki ga je prevzel v času britanskega protektorata. Splošno pravo deluje kot regulator tržnih dejavnosti in ureja civilne sodne postopke. Poleg britanskega prava paralelno deluje tudi šeriatsko pravo, ki je bilo javnosti prvič predstavljeno pred 7 leti.
They inherited a kind of British-style legal system, obviously from the colonial period. But then over the last few years, it's also introduced a sort of a Sharia social code, if you like, set of laws to govern family and personal relations. But I think it's there are various safeguards in there. So I've had it described to me that the Sharia system was a way, I think, for the Sultan to demonstrate his Islamic kind of beliefs and his sort of religious righteousness, if you like, but they not necessarily intended to be used as the sole law to guide the society. And so maybe he was responding to calls from within Brunei society to be more religious, but it doesn't seem to be that there's much demand among the population that these kind of religious laws are enforced very heavily. So there are sort of various safeguards. I mean, often when we think of Islamic religious law, we're thinking about chopping off hands of thieves or that sort of thing. But those kind of penalties are not being applied.
Ravno uvedba šeriatskega prava je morda najbolj zaslužna za širšo prepoznavnost Bruneja. Leta 2019 je sultan pozval k strožjemu izvajanju pravil zapisanih v šeriatskem pravu, ki je za homoseksualce in prešušnike predvidevalo smrtno kazen, a je bila ta opuščena po burnem odzivu mednarodne skupnosti. Za moške, ki prisostvujejo spolnim odnosom z osebami istega spola, je sedaj predvideno kamenjanje, za ženske pa zgolj 40 udarcev z bičem. Kljub odmevnosti v zakonitven šeriatskega prava pa naj bi se to nanašalo samo na brunejske muslimane, razloži Mojez Hayat.
The important thing to understand about Sharia law is that it applies to Bruneian Muslims. Non-Muslims cannot be held accountable to Sharia law or to Sharia laws in general, both as an Orthodox religious, from an Orthodox religious perspective and from the Bruneian perspective as well. So in that sense, such restrictions are on the Muslim community or on the morals of the Muslim community rather than the non-Muslim community. So Brunei is a significant Chinese minority population who are Christian and Buddhist. Then they have, of course, expatriate workers who are mainly Europeans or Christian even. Now, there is a general, constraint on public discourse, and even, non-Muslims do support this kind of, or public support this idea of Malay Islamic monarchy. They teach in their schools as well. But while that there's a certain conservatism in the country, and there's some things that, people do have, non-Muslims have to abide by. For example, restrictions on the sale of alcohol. There is the closing of stores around Friday prayer times. Certainly those are things that non-Muslims have to abide by. But in general, the law itself or the restrictions of the Sharia law itself apply to Muslims.
Pri najstrožjih kaznih naj bi šlo zgolj za varnostne ukrepe, ki bi pripomogli k širšemu spoštovanju islama. Čeprav sta kamenjanje in bičanje uzakonjena, pa naj bi bila izvedba le teh zgolj grožnja tistim, ki se ne ravnajo po verskem pravu.
Severe punishments can be enacted by the ruler if they feel there's a public interest, but in general, such punishment, while they represent the moral character of society, lower level punishments are usually enacted. In the case of Brunei, I believe in many times they use common law punishments. Now, those common law punishments are actually not unique to Brunei. They are common in Malaysia and Singapore as well. Those are that relates to the kind of British era code against carnal intercourse, which all three countries keep on the books, again, as a means of kind of restraining societal discourse. So certainly there's a restraint on the discourse of society. There's certainly a country that's signaling the morals of the society. And yes, there's real laws on the books. But, that doesn't mean, anyone's being stoned to death.
Čeprav je Brunej zgodovinsko vezan na malajsko kulturo, ki jo kot del brunejske identitete povzema tudi nacionalna filozofija, so odnosi Bruneja z edino ozemeljsko sosedo Malezijo precej burni. Jabolko spora je ozemeljska meja pri obmejnem mestu Limbang. Državi sta leta 2003 po dolgoletnem molku dosegli sporazum o prenehanju izčrpavanja nafte in zemeljskega plina na območju Limbanga. Kljub ozemeljskemu sporu pa sta Malezija in Brunej uspešno rešila spor glede delitve in vzajemnega sodelovanja na morski meji. Raje kot k sosednji Maleziji pa se brunejski sultan obrača k Singapurju, razloži Bill Hayton.
Politically, I would say Brunei's connections are closest with Singapore rather than Malaysia. They're both sort of small states with the British colonial heritage. And the sort of, you know, you can spend Singapore money in Brunei and vice versa, and they have quite close defense connections too. Relations with Malaysia can be a bit tricky, to be honest. I mean, going back centuries, you know, as I was saying, the Brunei Sultan had various sort of, conflicts over time with the monarchs in the surrounding areas, and then those surrounding areas became Malaysia when the country became independent. And so there have been boundary disputes, for example, with Malaysia, both on the land and the sea, and that, you know, has been difficult at times. That said, relations are generally friendly. The whole question of Malay identity is quite interesting and complicated. So Brunei, you have indigenous people, you might say, people who've been living in the forests, for millennia, I guess, sort of, Dayak people living in sort of long houses in the jungle. You also have people who sort of migrated along the coast, and then you also have Chinese groups that migrated across the South China Sea and also settled there. And so the actual sort of population really is, you know, in broadly three groups. And so the Malay part is really to sort of assert the primacy, I guess, of the Malay part of the population, the people who aren't the sort of the Dayaks and who aren't the Chinese communities, but the sort of the Malay people that sort of came sort of in between those two periods, if you like. So there are clearly kind of connections with Malaysia and a similar language, although in Brunei it's written often with an Arabic script, but it's spoken as a Malay language.
Od Brunejevega predsedovanja organizaciji ASEAN je bilo ob nastopu mandata pričakovati predvsem, da bo usmirjeno v gospodarsko sanacijo korona krize. Že na samem začetku predsedovanja je Brunej izključil možnost sklenitve kodeksa o morskih mejah, ki so ena večjih problematik v Južno-Kitajskem morju. Od vojaškega udara v Mjanmaru pa so vse oči uprte v regionalno krizo v najzahodnejši članici ASEANA.
They have a big job, really, because they were expecting, I guess, a fairly quiet year where they could sort of stress the ongoing development of, you know, the economy and that kind of thing. But of course, on the 1st of February, there was the coup in Myanmar. So suddenly Brunei has found itself having to deal with quite a serious regional crisis with impacts in Myanmar itself, and also regionally, and you know, maybe involving China and the United States and other countries as well. So it's been given a very tough challenge, and Brunei is a small country, and it doesn't have a very large government and foreign ministry. So people having to work quite hard. So yeah, it's facing a considerable challenge at the moment to deal with that. And at the same time, I mean, it's tried to sort of, you know, push forward its, you know, ideas for developing the ASEAN community, along the lines of sort of promoting, you know, freer trade and all the other things that, that the ASEAN states do.
Vrh brunejskega sultanata je bil že pred vojaškim udarom kritičen do dogajanja v Burmi, predvsem zaradi vladnega ravnanja z muslimansko manjšino Rohingov. Po vojaškem udaru pa je brunejsko predsedstvo podalo izjavo, ki ni bila direktno uperjena proti vojaški hunti, kljub temu, da je Brunej ne priznava kot legitimne. S predstavniki vojaške hunte se je vrh brunejske politike celo srečal preko videokonference. Po srečanju so izdali nov dekret, ki ga najlažje pacifistično povzamemo s tem, da je ASEAN razdeljen. V dekretu pa je bila seveda izpostavljena nujnost takojšnje vzpostavitve miru.
They have been critical of the Myanmar government in the past over the expulsion of the Rohingya Muslims from northwestern Myanmar over the last 4 years or so. of home right. They voted, they abstained, or they voted in favour of a motion criticising Myanmar at the United Nations, which was very unusual. And that, I think, partly reflects the fact that Brunei is an Islamic state and most of the Rohingya are Muslim. And they did so along with Malaysia and Indonesia. That said, I think they don't, you know, they don't like the idea of the coup at all. They don't like the idea of the army taking power. They don't like disruption and instability. So I think their general feeling is that they don't like the coup. They haven't really made any sort of, you know, very harsh statements about it, other than to say they want, you know, want the return to normality. But Brunei has been, I think, leading ASEAN towards some kind of intervention. They're not going to ignore it. It's a very difficult steering role that they've got to do to kind of navigate between the members of ASEAN, mainly Indonesia and Malaysia, Singapore, who are more critical of the coup, and those countries a bit like Thailand and maybe Vietnam, who are more tolerant of it. And they've got to try and find a way between them. And interestingly, when they had the meeting of the leaders at the end of April, they were careful not to include the Myanmar leadership as part of ASEAN. They, all these sort of statements were phrased as the ASEAN leaders and Myanmar. So they're sort of suggesting there that they don't necessarily recognise the military government in Myanmar as the legitimate government of the country.
Kljub mednarodnemu osredotočenju na krizo v Mjanmaru pa je sultanat zaprisižen k iskanju mednarodnih zaveznikov oziroma partnerjev v dialogu. Brunej naj bi se pri tem vedno bolj obračal k Veliki Britaniji, nekdani upravljavki države, s čimer bi se gospodarsko sodelovanje med državama še okrepilo. Več Hayaz.
Both the United States and China are looking to see if ASEAN can kind of solve this question of Myanmar, at least stabilize the situation in Myanmar. And from an institutional perspective, Brunei will have to play a very important, very active, and very, well, really as a leader to kind of help solve the issue or help find an acceptable solution for ASEAN and for domestic actors. And that's not an easy process. It will take a lot of diplomacy to actually obtain that. On other fronts, though, I think Brunei will probably push, you know, try to advance in these post-COVID reconstruction issues, you know, building regional resilience, building cooperation on future transnational threats to ASEAN. Also, reaching out to the United Kingdom, as I mentioned, there's been ASEAN has not had a new dialogue partner, which is kind of like a new external relation. Elevate external relation for some time. But Brunei has made it clear that they're very supportive of the United Kingdom joining as a dialogue partner. Now, that would be fantastic for the UK, which is trying to join the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the Comprehensive Trans-Pacific Partnership, trying to essentially shift some of its trade balance towards Southeast Asia, its trade relations towards Southeast Asia, the large Indo-Pacific. And in that sense, Brunei is very much a crucial actor, both as a historic ally of the United Kingdom and as a potential partner within ASEAN.
Strasti v Južno-Kitajskem morju se do konca brunejskega predsedovanja zagotovo ne bodo pomirile. Vidimo lahko, da je za razliko od hipnih geopolitičnih sprememb Brunej še vedno nonšalantno zavezan svoji politični ureditvi, ki bi jo lahko označili za sodobni absolutizem in bogatenju na račun naftnega bogatstva, ki ga bo seveda enkrat zmanjkalo. Po Južno-Kitajskem morju je do Bruneja priplul Matija.